This is the room where John Keats died. And behind me you can see his death mask. So John Keats died here late on the night of the 23rd of February, 1821. He'd been in Rome for 10 weeks, renting a room in this house from a wealthy Italian woman, staying with his friend, Joseph Seven, who was a physician. So John Keats was dying of tuberculosis. He'd known that for almost 2 years, but he knew he would not survive another winter in the damp and chilly climate of the United Kingdom. That's why he sailed for Italy, believing it would prolong his life, if he was fortunate, by a few years. It was only by a few months, landing that October in Naples, traveling over land, spending 100 days in the house. And here is the death mask they made in the hours after his death. Do you see? They also made molds of his hands and feet. So you can see very, very well. This is as close to him as I'll ever be. This is something that actually touched him. So that is just mind-blowing for me, that one of the most magnificent poets of all time, I can be so close to him. You think what he achieved at the age of 25, having to work full-time to support himself, unlike Shelley, who never worked a stroke in his whole life, had so much family money, was able to borrow against his expected inheritance. Okay, and he's buried in the non-Catholic cemetery near this little pyramid the Romans had made in imitation of the Egyptian pyramids. One of the few foreign civilizations the Romans respected. Didn't stop them invading it, though. Where he's buried, the non-Catholic cemetery, sometimes inaccurately called the Protestant cemetery. That was outside Rome. There were some ancient walls there, and it was just open countryside. Shepherds used to graze their sheep there, so images of Shelley, okay? And also not of Shelley, of Keats. His good friend, Percy Bysshe Shelley, was elsewhere, in Tuscany, living in Livorno, down the River Arno from Florence, and was to die the following year, that July, to drown when his boat suddenly capsized in a storm. You see, Joseph Seven, yeah, who lived on till 1879, his doctor friend, who sailed with him from Italy. And then this is one of the best-known images of Keats. This image is on his grave. And as in accordance with his wishes, his gravestone doesn't have his name on it, yeah? So it says, here lies one whose name is writ in water. Notice it's rhythmical, it's metrical, that inscription. He was there, in the bitterness of his heart because of his enemies and so forth. And had only sold a few hundred copies of his poems, so died in obscurity. But aspired to be a celebrated writer. Well, his literary afterlife has been utterly magnificent. He's succeeded far more than he could ever dare to dream. Unfortunately, none of the furniture is original. It had to be burnt according to the sanitary regulations for fear people would catch tuberculosis from it, or consumption, as they called it in those days. He was coughing up blood, and he knew he didn't have long to go. He was an apothecary, that's like a pharmacist, we'd say these days, had considered then qualifying as a doctor, but to realise he didn't have time to do that or perfect the art of poesy. So he'd made landfall in Italy on the 21st of October, 1820. It'd taken him three weeks, to sail from the United Kingdom in this attempt to prolong his life. I mean, had he not set sail, he would have died even sooner. And carrying a vial of laudanum around his neck, and he was attempted to end it all because the agony was so unbearable. Joseph Seven took it off him. He wasn't a drug addict. He was simply taking it as the only way to cope with the pain. So that's him. So you see all sorts of books, you know, poetical works of Keats. He published about 500 poems in his life. No novels, no stories. Had a classical education. Could read, 16th century Italian, obviously Latin and ancient Greek. Was the mainstay of schooling. He'd gone to Enfield School, and he was good friends with the headmaster, who became Dr. Clark, who lived on to the age of 90, astonishingly great age at the time. That's Enfield School. Enfield now, a suburb of London, then regarded as being out in the countryside of Middlesex. So he loved Fanny Braun, who came from a wealthy family in Hampstead, again being a country village in Middlesex. And then he lived in a house by Hampstead Heath. There you see the silhouette of her. But he didn't have much money, so her family disapproved of the match. You can see Bright Star, which is a biopic about him. And there he is, looking dreamy and melancholy. Well, unfortunately, the reflection is such, you can't really get a good glimpse of that one. So that was one of his poems, was called Bright Star. So yeah, his father had died when Keats was little. His mother married again, but that marriage was a disaster, and she left that man after just a few weeks, but they didn't actually get divorced and so on. So his first poem published at the age of 18, well, poems by John Keats when he was 18, he'd written poems before, but they were not published later on. So his dear friend Shelley didn't find out about Keats's death for about a month, and later came to mourn at the grave. So yeah, the Keats Shelley Association purchased this in 1906. Keats Shelley Association is still going, but nothing was done for Keats's bicentenary of his death. Remember when I was at school, there's a lot of talk about him because it's almost the bicentenary of his birth, and so on. Likewise, when it came to the bicentenary of Shelley's death, the only book published about him that year is by me. Keats, sorry, Shelley, a bicentennial celebration and a bicentennial homage. There you go. So there is the Spanish Steps. Anyway, I've long wanted to come here. My last trip to Rome, this was closed. You can get guided tours in Italian and English on Saturdays, but I'm too late for it today. If you pay enough, they'll do it on other days for a group that's big enough. Okay, so it's only this floor and desk down there is the gift shop and the ticket room. So it's a private house, but none of the furniture is original, unfortunately. A lot of this is slightly later in the 19th century. Very gorgeous handmade furniture, all the shiny wooden stuff. And you see up there a wooden bust of him, facing his friend on the other side. And over on the other side, you see Percy Bysshe Shelley. So these are all family names. Percy is originally a surname of that Northern English noble family. Bysshe was his great grandmother's maiden name, and so on. And here, the cremation of Shelley's body, despite it looking like a very wintry scene, is actually summer when he was cremated. And this one is much less realistic. It wasn't a stormy day. His body wasn't well preserved. It was distended. It was rotten beyond recognition. As someone said, it might as well have been the sheep. They didn't recognize it by the clothes. And indeed, the fact there was a copy of Keats's book in his pocket. He's supposed to be reading poems just of Keats just before he died. But then I can feel I can somehow connect with these people by being so close to the relics, things they touch, some physical memorials of them. They've rotten away. They're the ones to pluck flowers, particularly daisies from the grave. Daisies grew abundantly on Keats's grave. We know it maybe it's nourished by his mortal remains, as in life springs from death. So somehow he can escape mortality by giving new life even to other organisms. Anyway, so that's it. A lot of works by Byron. I wonder what, okay. We've got the Lake Poets, of which there were some, as in they hung around the Lake District in Northwest England. Well, thanks for watching my video. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate to PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. That's me in Keats Shelley House.